this evening. I'm thankful for another opportunity to speak unto you tonight. From time to time, people in the audience will give me some information, maybe a paper, maybe a link to a video or whatever it may be, but they give me something and they ask me if I could work that into a lesson sometime. I've been given a paper tonight, and I'm going to take and work this into a lesson that I actually did, I don't remember, several years ago at Zion. But the letter says this: while in Ravensbrück concentration camp, Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy dealt with dreadful conditions. This women's labor camp dorms were crammed into three high trough-like sleeping barracks with rancid hay as their bed. The cramped conditions and lack of basic sanitation led to a lice and massive infestation of fleas. Corrie wondered how they could endure such a dreadful place. Betsy prayed, and she told her sister they must give thanks in all circumstances. But the filth and the fleas? Corrie wondered how she could possibly ever be thankful for the lice and the fleas. Several weeks later, one of the supervisors was called into their barracks to view something Betsy was working on, but the supervisor refused because the place was crawling with fleas. Betsy then reminded her sister that it was the fleas that had allowed them so much freedom to form a bond and pray and teach about Jesus to their entire barrack, with little infringement from their captors, because neither the supervisors or guards wanted to be in their barracks because of the lice and the fleas. And this is when Corrie realized how she could be thankful even for a flea. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that is a great story, and I did a little research on it this afternoon, and it is a true story. A true story that happened actually during the Holocaust and all of the horrible things that people had to endure, but people had to learn during that time period to be thankful in different circumstances. And sometimes you and I need to learn to be thankful. Again, it's not working, so you guys are going to have to take charge. There it goes. This thing doesn't like me. I don't know what it is, but that's all right. We'll figure it out. We need to be a people that have an attitude like the people that we talked about during this letter. We need to be a people that have an attitude of thanksgiving. When is the last time that you thought something like as what is on the screen right now? When is the last time in your heart that you just really were thankful to the Lord? Do you realize how much that the Lord has done for us? Do you realize how much Jesus Christ has done for us? This is a sign in somebody's yard. I don't know where it came from. I got it off the internet. I know where I got it. But these people wanted everyone to know they were thankful. And you realize you and I are commanded as followers of God. Go on to the next slide. It's not going to work. As followers of God, to be thankful, no matter what situation we may be placed in. In fact, Cade read just a moment ago. He read to be thankful people. I forgot I had this slide on here. We're to be a people that are thankful, and we're not to be a people that are constantly complaining and arguing and bickering and finding something wrong with everything. And that's what Philippians 2 verse 14 is about. He says, do all things without complaining. Or what King James says, murmuring and disputing. Because sometimes that's what our attitude is. Sometimes we're a people that are not very thankful, and we don't try to look on the bright side of things. Sometimes we are very negative people. And I'm going to tell you, negativity is something that turns other people off. If we're always negative, well, people's going to see that. And people's going to see that, and it's going to make their attitude to be different. There's a time to be negative. And we all have to face things that are negative. But as a people of God, we should be a more upbeat people. We should be a more thankful people. We should be a people that don't have very much to complain about when we truly look at our life compared to the rest of the world. Brethren, we are a blessed people indeed. A very blessed people. If you go on to the next slide. The next slide is telling us we've got to give thanks. And again, that is very biblical. Go on to the next one. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. In everything. Everything that we do. Now, I want you to notice something just for a second. It does not say be thankful for everything. And you say, well, yeah. But you see, there's a big difference. There are certain things that have happened in my life that I am not thankful that they happened. But in the midst of those circumstances, I can still find things to be thankful for. Or at least I should be. You see, because there's a huge difference going to the next one. You see, the problem is, it's the will of God that we do this. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just God saying, you know, if you guys find time, you go ahead and rejoice a little bit. You see, we could talk three lessons about these three things. If you find time, and if things are going your way, you rejoice. And if you can manage throughout your day, you pray a few times. And just try as much as you can to be thankful. That's not what he says, is it? He said it is the will of God that we be a people that are joyous. A people that are constant in prayer. A people that find reasons to be thankful for things in our life. And you see, that's what we've got to do. We've got to train ourselves to come to that point. Go on to the next slide. You realize in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. Stop being anxious. King James is going to say, be careful for nothing. Don't always look at things and find problems in it. Because that's not the attitude that God wants us to have. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything. There's that word again, isn't it? And I underlined it there. In everything. Everything we do. And again, not for everything. But in everything we do, we should find a reason to be thankful. In everything we do by prayer and supplication, but we couple with that thanksgiving. And once we live a life like that, we will find peace. We will find a peace that the Bible says surpasses understanding. It is something that is greater than us, but we have to develop a mindset within us to look for things to be thankful for. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go down through here and we're going to look at different stages in our life. And we're going to look at just a few things that we can choose to be thankful for from those stages. Go on to the next slide. What about in our youth? What about in youth? Those of you that are older, do you appreciate your youth more now than you did then? Probably so, right? What happened when you were young? Well, you say, I didn't, you know, get out of bed in the morning and have to spray WD-40 on all my joints, right? And, you know, you didn't have to hurt. You didn't have to struggle. How many times do you see a young person running around and you say, boy, I wish I could bottle that energy and sell it, right? We say things like that because we understand that there is so much blessing in being young. In fact, the Bible tells us, rejoice, O young man. Rejoice. You've got a tremendous opportunity before you. You have stamina and endurance and you feel good and you just, you know, you can stay up half the night and everything. It's just different. Young people, you need to be thankful. You need to be thankful that you're young. You need to be thankful for all the opportunities that God has given you. Man, you need to be thankful that you guys have Chase Fletcher here. He'd give me $20 to say that. But you need to be thankful that you got Chase. I don't even see Chase. He's around here somewhere, I guess. But you need to be thankful that you got him. He does so much for you guys, and he cares so much about you guys. And there's so much just to be thankful for. And again, all of us, that's an easy one, right? We say, yeah, it's easy to be thankful when you're young. But what about the next one? What about when you get older? What about when you do get older, and maybe you get much older? And maybe life is a struggle, and maybe you do hurt all the time, and maybe there's just all these problems in your life. And sometimes people want to be very negative when they get to their point in their life. And sometimes you've got people that they just can't find much good to say about the place that they're in. But if you go back to the scripture that we're basing all this on, it says, in everything, we got to find a reason. We got to find a reason to be thankful. Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, gray hair is a crown of glory. But yet people spend multitudes of money trying to hide the gray hair. When some of us just wish we had gray hair. It's that simple. You know, it's... we got to find reasons to be thankful. You see, as a person that gets older, you can be thankful to God that you've lived so many years. You can be thankful to God that you have been able to experience so many things. You can be thankful to God that perhaps, I don't know if you do or not, maybe you have children or grandchildren, and you can be thankful to God that you have developed so much wisdom. You can be thankful to God that you can share that wisdom with other people to try to keep them from making the same mistakes that perhaps you have made. But you see, if we look at this thing in perspective, we can find that there's a lot to be thankful for. But you see, we've got to get that negative mindset out of us. And we've got to learn to think in a more positive way, a more upbeat way. Go on to the next slide. This one's easy, right? This one's easy. As long as you are healthy, I'm going to tell you, church, man, we should be thankful. If you can get up every morning and you feel pretty good, if you can get up every morning and go to work, and one of the first things I do every morning when I leave to go to work is I thank God that I'm able to get out of that bed and go to work, because I know a lot of people that are not. I know a lot of people that they don't have that ability, and they struggle with all sorts of things. And brethren, we've got to learn as a people to be more thankful for our healthy days. And again, that's not hard. But going to the next one, what about when things do turn? Well, what about when we do get sick and maybe we're dealing with some type of disease or injury or some type of thing? And we talked about that this morning. It may be a giant in our life, and maybe we just really struggle with it. But do you think we can still find reasons to be thankful? I think so. I'm going to read you an article. There's a picture of that article, but you can by no means see that. Brother Wayne Jackson. The title of the article is Lessons Learned Through Illness. Brother Wayne lost his battle with that illness last year and went on to his reward. But I want you to listen to his attitude that he had developed. He says, nobody wants cancer. He said, certainly I did not. Some are so fearful of this disease, they will not even say the word. They refer to it as the C word. It's one of the most dreaded maladies a human being can contemplate. He says, I frequently have pondered mine own 5 times cancer. Think about that just for a second. A man that had endured cancer 5 different times in his life. You would think this man would be very negative. You would think he would come off with poor, pitiful me, and you're going to find out that's not the case at all. He said, how did I come by it? Was it genetic? He says, my mother did have surgery for a malignant thyroid tumor in her later years, but she did not die from it. Has it been caused by habits pertaining to my lifestyle? He says, I was never a tobacco addict. Was it environment? When I severely broke my arm 20 years ago, I had numerous x-rays. I've wondered if that started the process. He says, such speculations are academic and thus not useful at this point. The question now is, how have I dealt with it? And that's the attitude we've all got to ask ourselves. Whatever lot we have found ourselves in this life, the question is, how have I dealt with it? He says, fairly well, I would hope. I still am a very happy person. I have never lost my sense of purpose, nor of humor. He says, I love to tease and be teased. Many can testify to this. He says, on one of my walks, which I largely use for meditation, I tried to analyze some of the lessons I've learned from these difficult circumstances, and I'd like to share a few with you, if I may be so presumptuous. He says, I have come to appreciate living on God's earth in a new way. Everything seems more beautiful. The loveliness of the countryside, the various creatures the Lord made, the value of a great family, and the treasure of Christian friends, these have become more precious than ever. Hundreds have prayed for me. I have received mail from all over the world as a result of our website, and more than once, such has brought me tears of joy. I have appreciated the dedication and love of a Christian wife as never before. She has been a devoted nurse. He says, I have a keener sense of time. When you combine the factors of age and serious infirmary, the ticking of the clock is louder, and you want to accomplish as much as possible, not for yourself, but for others. Not with any material or temporal ambition, but for the internal hope. He says, I learned how much I miss teaching. The times I have been sidelined due to illness were the longest periods I'd ever experienced without teaching a class or preaching. I missed it. What a contrast to the days of my youth when I literally would get sick before almost every speaking engagement, but it became a passion. I loved seeing eyes light up at the thrilling magnificence of the Bible. But most of all, I enjoyed the preparation required for teaching because I was my own best student. I needed it as much as most and certainly benefited from it more than anyone else. Today, due to my declining health, I no longer am able to teach. But hardly a day passes that I don't wish I could teach the Bible just one more time. I have learned to be more sympathetic with others who have illnesses. I've walked in their shoes. I've felt their pains. I've experienced their fears. I empathize with the infirm. The fact is, over the years, I have formed a much closer bond with several with whom I have shared this disease than I ever would have before, and I am immeasurably richer for it. I learned to be more sensitive to the feelings of others. People have said hurtful things to me, such as not made me angry, for the offenders were those whom I know love me and would never intentionally want to wound. And now I try to be more cautious when speaking with those who similarly are ill. I learned a measure of patience, though I do not have a PhD in that discipline. There is patience to be learned as one waits test results. And then again, after one hears the dreaded news, and time drags on for what seems like an eternity. You wait for multiple appointments to be scheduled, and then you finally receive the recommended treatments. He says there is a challenge of exercising long suffering in the long suffering of healing. Hoping you are healing and trying not to make those around you feel so bad, I've had to make withdrawals from the bank of Job of Uz on numerous occasions and still not totally succeeding. He said, I have reflected on my personal history. I've lamented mistakes I've made, both in terms of sins and in the exercise of poor judgment with reference to others. On the other hand, as I have contemplated my now 80 years on this planet, I am thankful that I have never turned my back on my Savior since I obeyed the gospel at the age of 17. I've never dropped out of service, losing irretrievable precious years in the process. I've always diligently tried to do my best, even when I knew such was far inferior to the talents of others. I have been amazed at the providence of God on behalf of a boy from rural Tennessee who was a very average student. I have spoken on programs before hundreds of people and had wondered with amazement, what am I doing here among these so far advanced above me? He says, I've had a wonderful life. I've never even come close to blaming God for my hardships. I will love Him to the end of my earthly life and on into eternity. He says, I now express genuine gratitude to all those who have encouraged me and helped me in so many ways. It is a debt I can never repay. Thanks to all of you for blessing me so immensely. I don't know about you. I don't know if I'd have that attitude. I don't know if I would be able to find so many things good in my life when dealing with something so horrible. But he did. And in doing so, he is teaching you and I, even today, even though he's gone now, he is still teaching us today that in everything we are to give thanks, even when things aren't going our way. Go on to the next one. What about in wealth? You know, as you get married, you promise to take this person, and for richer or poor, sickness and health, and you kind of say all these things, right? You say, I'm going to be by your side no matter what comes our way, but as long as we've got money, as long as our bank accounts are flowing, it's easy to be thankful, isn't it? I'm going to back that up a little bit. I said that because sometimes that's what we think, but you know, sometimes that's when we're the least thankful. You realize that? As long as everything is going our way and we've got money, sometimes we don't stop to count our blessings. We don't stop to look at our lives and say, man, God has been so good to me. God has allowed me to be able to do all these things and to have all of these possessions and have some security behind me. And, well, brethren, we need to wake up and realize that. He wants us to see that. Because, again, sometimes when things are going our way, we don't stop to thank God. We don't stop to look at that we're on top of the mountain. When we got wealth, we've got to do that. Go on to the next one. What about when we don't? What about if things do go south? What about if the company you've worked for so many years files bankruptcy and that happens and you lose your job and you lose your pension? And you find yourself struggling. And you feel like you're way down here. And then suddenly it's kind of like, man, my life is just, it's falling apart. And you don't know where to go and you don't know where to turn. But the Bible says you've got to find reasons. You've got to find reasons if you find yourself in that predicament to be a thankful person. The Bible says, through the grace of Jesus Christ, though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Jesus Christ lived upon this earth, and he was what we would call in the lower tiers of society. He didn't have anything. He didn't have any money in the bank. He didn't have worldly possessions. He lived as a very, very poor man. We're in good company if that's where you find yourself. But I want you to look at it from another way. Man, I've been to all these foreign countries and I met all these people that are so poor. And I'm talking dirt floor poor. They don't have absolutely anything, but yet these people always have a smile on their face. They always have a smile on their face. They're always happy to see you. And anything that you might do for them, they are extremely grateful. Why? Because sometimes an overabundance of things causes us to be spoiled, right? You ever seen a child that's very, very spoiled? All of us parents say, yeah, got some of them at home, right? But we know why they're spoiled, right? We do. Sometimes we as adults are the same way. And sometimes those people that are less fortunate, sometimes the people that are downtrodden, sometimes they're the most thankful people. Another reason, they don't have as much to give account of. You realize that? The more we have, the more I'm going to stand before God to give account for on the day of judgment. So if you find yourself and you're in this category, you're in pretty good company. You're in company with Jesus. You don't have as much to give an account for. You can realize that anything anyone does for you should be met with thanksgiving. But it depends upon how you want to look at things in your life. All of this does. Go on to the next one. What about our life? What about our life? You know, my sermon this morning I told you was based upon the fact that I just lost a friend. And when that happens in our life, a lot of times what do? We take stock, right? Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Why would he say such a thing? Because when we go to that house of mourning, it causes us to take stock and it causes us to realize how precious life is. Brothers and sisters, you are here tonight and you're breathing. And for that, you better be thankful. You better be thankful. If for nothing else in your life, other than the fact that you're still alive, you should be thankful. Because there are families right now that are grieving that would give anything if that loved one were still alive. And we've got to realize God is the one that gives that. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, with whom there is no variation, neither shadow of turning. He's the one that has given you your life and every good thing you have. It's time that we be thankful for it. But what about the next one? What about death? What about when we do face death and the worst does happen within us and sometimes, again, it's just like this morning, we feel like it's a giant and we can't overcome it, but as a people of God, we've got to find reasons to be thankful. And I have found that Christians are usually pretty good at this. We say things like, they get to go to heaven. They get to go and they get to be with God. They get to rest and they don't have to suffer here upon this earth anymore. And brethren, those indeed are true things if that person was indeed a faithful Christian. But you see, we've got to train our minds in all of these things that we face. We've got to realize that's what we've got to do. Going to the last slide. I want you, if you would, to turn to Psalm 103 with me. And I want us to read what the psalmist said. And I want us to take in our lives and to pattern ourselves a little bit more after what he would say. This psalm is attributed to David, and I have no reason to suppose otherwise. But I want us all together to read this, and I want us to see the attitude that this man had. And I also want us to see that not everything in David's life was perfect. Yeah, he's a king. Man, he'd endured hardship. He'd had to be homeless. He'd had to fight for everything he had. He'd had to bury children. His life had, it'd been a lot of chaos in his life. But he chose to have an attitude that he revealed unto us here. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Brethren, we need not to forget all His benefits. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." When we want our sins forgiven, who do we call upon? The Lord. When we're sick, who do we call upon? The Lord. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." He says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that the Lord is merciful with me indeed. He said He's gracious. I'm thankful the Lord is gracious. He's slow to anger. Again, I can amen that. I'm glad He's slow to anger. He's plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And brethren, if as a Christian you have nothing else you can find to be thankful for, that better be it. That better be it. If He dealt with each of us according to our sins, we wouldn't be sitting here tonight. Oh, brethren, we need to be thankful for that. He says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." How far is the east from the west? Anybody ever tried to measure that? It's immeasurable, right? And He's saying the Lord will forgive your sins and they will be so far away they can never be seen again. Oh, I can be thankful for that. I can be thankful. Verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." He knows how hard it is. He knows what we struggle with. We have a great high priest who He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it's like. He was tempted just like we are, but yet he was without sin. He says, "For as a man, his days are as the grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." We sing that song sometime, don't we? Brethren, I don't know about you. Sometimes I need to be reminded of how much I need to be thankful for. Sometimes I need to be reminded about my attitude. Sometimes it's not what it's supposed to be. And sometimes I become myself a very negative person, and for that I'm sorry. And I want to do better. And I hope tonight you want to do better likewise. Tonight, I want to ask you, maybe there's someone in this audience, maybe you struggle with this very thing. Maybe you have looked at life in a way that God would not have you to look at life like that. It's the will of God that we be thankful. If that's not what you've been, make it right tonight. Choose tonight. Decide tonight that you are going to live a different life. That you're going to choose from this point forward to be a thankful individual. To look at things differently in your life. And I promise you your life will be better. I promise you. Maybe tonight you're not a Christian. You're not in a covenant relationship with the Lord. You can do that tonight. The invitation is always open. You can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can believe that He gave His life for you as a sinful individual, that He offers redemption. And that redemption is through His blood. You can believe that. You can come down front. You can be willing to repent of your sins, to turn from the lifestyle that you're living and change and go in a different direction and live for Him. You can confess His name before whoever will listen, and we can baptize you tonight. And you can be a child of God. And you can lay your head down tonight and you can be thankful that He has removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. We don't want you to leave tonight until you are right with the Almighty. If there's anything we can do for you, please come while together we stand and sing.